Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Here's Corrine, not Nino, as usual. Welcome to a brand new episode of Supernatural Radio Show. I'm glad you guys decided to join me tonight. And, of course, you know Laura Dupree, psychic medium, is our guest tonight, and I'm really excited to get to know her a little bit better. And I've heard her readings on other shows, Curious Times, Infinity, things like that, different shows, but she's fantastic, and I'm just so happy that she decided to join me, especially because I had to up the show because I didn't realize we were against another show that both of us probably want to listen to. So, and that is actually a show on it's on BTR, Barbara DeLong's show, and she's having a guest medium, Renee Richards, which I adore, and everyone knows that. So, anyways, I think that goes on at 8 o'clock. So, Laura Dupree is a developing psychic medium who started her spiritual awakening in 2004 while her husband was in Iraq in the Army National Guard. She always believed she was intuitive, but her first mediumship experience occurred in 2009 and has helped her to understand she had a gift that was intended to be used to serve others. Since that time, Laura has been soaking in as much information as possible from as many books and learning opportunities from other psychics to understand this gift and how to decode the messages she has been given from the other side, which I believe is no easy feat. Laura recently completed a course on beginner's mediumship taught by Lisa Williams. She has been working primarily with family and friends, practicing her readings, and is looking for opportunities to work with those she does not know and learn to trust her instincts and ability to decipher the messages received from those on the other side. Laura loves all things creative, so do I, and I found out recently we're both Aquarians, so that makes sense, and is the author of the book The Soldiers Left Behind, which I'm guessing that it's about her husband's, you know, situation in the war. And Laura has a blog she created for self-healing and reflection, but with the intent that it would also help others going through trials in their lives. And I will post that blog in the chat room. And I'm sure it's very interesting, actually, and I'm just thrilled to have her. So let's bring Laura on. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Corrine. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for agreeing to come a little bit early tonight. I'm sorry that happened.
Oh, it's no problem. Thanks for having me here. And I'm just so glad you were able to get in touch with me. I was off dilly-dallying, just taking care of my sister, and I thought, oh, I better get home. I wasn't very far away, so it was all good. It was all good.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, so Laura, tell me a little bit about your blog and what you discussed there.
Well, so when I first started my blog, it was really, my husband had just come home from his second deployment to Iraq, and when he went the second time, I fell into a horrible place of depression, and so it took about 2 years before I was able to really start to pull myself out. 2 years after he got home, actually, which I know is going to sound a little weird, but I couldn't connect with the feelings. I didn't understand why I wasn't feeling better. He was home safe. You know, I didn't get any of that. And so what I started to do was get up and move. And by that, I mean literally put my shoes on and start walking around the track here close to our home. And when I started to do that, I realized that my mind would clear and clarity on different subjects would just pop in. And I soon came to realize that the issues that I had, that I was struggling with, and I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this. Bethany Frankel has used it. And I don't know if you know who she is. She was one of the housewives, New York housewives from way back when that whole series started. But she says, it's not always about what it's about. And that is exactly how it was for me. So I thought I was angry with my husband for leaving me. I thought I was upset because he was ill when he was overseas and the Army would not let him come home. His blood wouldn't clot, and he was in a combat zone, going out on missions daily. So you can imagine the stress, right? So, and they were actually they were in an IED attack during that time, which thank goodness he didn't tell me about until after he got home. But I was just, you know, I was angry. I was a lot of things. But what it really boiled down to when I started to take my walks, I would go deeper than that. And I used to call it digging up bones because I would, like, go into the closet, which is my psyche, and start to think about, well, why did I feel this way? And I would ask myself the same question, like, 5 times, you know. Why did I feel this way? And then I dig a little bit deeper. Have I felt this way before in the past? What would cause that? And what caused that? And so, like, I would start with the basic problem that I'm mad at my husband because he didn't fight hard enough to come home when he was ill and I needed him to come home. And, you know, it would boil down to something in my childhood. You know, when I started to really dig into things, why did I feel that way? Why did I need him to come home so desperately? What was the tie and the connection there? So I thought, okay, I'm walking around, I'm learning all of these things. And I mean, they came to me much like when I do readings. It just, things just come to me. And so I thought, this is really powerful information that I'm getting. And so I thought, I'm going to write it out. Because when I wrote The Soldiers Left Behind, the book, I like to say, pretty much wrote itself. I feel like I had very little control over it. Like, it was spirit-driven. It was from the divine. I felt that way about my blog when I first started to blog as well, because I would write something, and then something more would occur to me. And so it would just evolve over time. So it's kind of funny when you read the first entries, it's like I'd ask myself a question and then I'd answer it.
Right.
It was just really one of those things. It's about learning life lessons on a really grand scale. And I really had, what came out of it was a lot of wonderful healing and forgiveness for things. And most importantly, I was no longer blaming my husband for my family garbage that I had, my family baggage, the stuff from my youth that had been haunting me my whole life, and I never even thought about it. I just carried it around, you know, never let it go, never dealt with it, never faced it. And so these walks, and believe me when I tell you that it was not always easy to put on my shoes. And it didn't matter, rain, snow, it didn't matter what it was doing outside. I forced myself to go out there and just move. And every time I did, and especially on the days I didn't feel like going, when I made myself go, it was like those days were even the best days, because I was able to get so much. I was so blessed in being able to come back, and I just wanted to write it all down because it made it real to me. And I thought, you know, this is for me. So if other people read it, that's great, you know, at the time when I was writing it. And I had wanted to write a second book, but I didn't really know where to start, because the first book was all about how many wonderful things, life lessons that I learned going through deployment number one. And I kind of felt when I took the fall, the deep dive down the rabbit hole of depression with the second deployment, I thought, I kind of am hypocritical. I mean, I used to stand up in front of you know, military wives and give these wonderful, inspirational talks and help people see how they can take something negative in their life and turn it into a positive. But I couldn't live it the second time around because the depression had such a hold on me. I was literally just paralyzed by it.
I bet, yeah.
And yeah, it was really weird, and I'd never been in that type of situation before. So that's kind of how the blog came to be, and I just continued to add, and it's kind of morphed into this overall life lesson situation because I have dealt with a lot of the military baggage now, and, you know, I've put it in its proper place. And my husband's now retired. But yeah, that's really what started it all, and I really do think that there is another book. There's another book in me. I am waiting. My guides tell me it's not time yet. I haven't learned enough. So I still have apparently some learning to do, some life lessons to pick up before I start to share. But I think there's another book in me for sure. And I, you know, the desire always is to take something that I've learned and pass it along to somebody else, because some of the challenges, they're unique, but some of them, you know, people can relate to them. When I wrote my book, it was funny because there was a piece in the book about how at the time my husband was deployed the first time, the nation was starting to look at the war in Iraq as Vietnam. They started to make the comparison. You know what I mean? About
right.
And I thought, there is no way on God's green earth that I am going to sacrifice this, potentially my husband, you know, go through all of this and this time spent away and all of these things and have my husband come home and be treated like we treated the soldiers that came home from Vietnam. There's no way in hell I'm doing that. There's no way.
Right. Right.
And so I just had a visceral reaction to it during that time. And so I wrote about that in my book. And my husband's aunt read it. And her first husband, had actually been to Vietnam, and he was one of those soldiers that came back and were treated really horribly. And she said, the funny thing was that when, not funny, ha-ha, but funny, odd, was that when she was reading it, she kind of expected it to be kind of all about modern day, what you go through when someone you love goes away to war. But really, she could relate just because of his behavior and the things that happened beforehand and all of those things from when her husband went off to Vietnam. And so she understood a little bit more of the dynamics that happened there because it's, you know, it's such a really bizarre feeling. And for somebody like myself who is married to someone in the National Guard who is supposed to be fighting firefighters and, you know, just not really deploying for these, you know, year-long deployments overseas and fighting in wars and stuff like that. I mean, that was all since 9/11. I mean, that's when it all really happened for him. We didn't know what to do with it, you know, career army wives, and I don't know if that's even an appropriate term, but you know, people that are used to living this lifestyle, they have such dedicated support amongst themselves
right.
in their own communities, and we just didn't have it because we're working people. Our husbands are working people, you know, they have to take leaves of absence from their jobs to go fight for our country. And so we don't know the military lifestyle. We don't know the jargon. We don't know the network that we need to connect to. And so that's why kind of writing this book was so important to me, because I thought, you know, there are so many of us out there that just don't have a clue. And we're struggling every day, you know, that these guys are
right.
gone. And then when they come back, the interesting thing is that neither person is ever the same. Ever the same, because you've each gone your different ways for a year, and pieces of your personality change. They modify. You can't help. You know what he's gone through, what you've gone through. It's changed you forever. And so when people come back together, they think it's going to be this honeymoon, and it's not. It maybe is for 2 days, But then you realize, I don't know this person anymore. And so...
Yeah, it takes a while.
You have to learn how to adjust to this new person and kind of get to know each other all over again. So that's really a lot of my message in the book. And again, the blog is kind of, you know, I wanted to use it as a starting point for book number two, but I don't even know that I'm going to go there yet. I haven't been led that direction, but the blog is really about the healing process. So,
yeah. And, you know, of course, we could get into more about, like, I had a discussion the other night, Laura, with a man that was in the Iraqi war, and he was initially arguing with someone who was saying, if you go and fight, you're not, you know, that's not what God would want you to do. And you're, you know, and so, you know, he was giving the guy a hard time. And the young man who had been in the war was saying that he was disillusioned by going to the war because he thought, that, you know, not to get into this right now, Laura, I know everyone's got their own idea and their beliefs and everything, but he kind of came back from there with the thought that the only people he wanted to protect when he was over there were his fellow soldiers. And he said, I didn't care if I had to kill, if I had to kill somebody in order to save my fellow soldier, I would do that. But mostly, unfortunately, he remembers guarding poppy fields and things like this. But that's another story. But I know what you're saying because, you know, the vets that came back from Vietnam, they weren't respected. They're still not respected. And let's throw in this little fact also is that the government doesn't take care of our soldiers. They want them to go to war. They want them to go to war and do this stuff. And then they come back. And they're hurting. So, yes, your blog is very necessary.
Yeah, it is. And I think what's important also that I just want to put out there. So I get that everybody kind of has mixed emotions, but when everybody's got a different opinion on whether we should be there fighting, whether we should, you know, whatever, okay? But when you're in the Army National Guard, in the Army, I don't care what branch of service you're in, the Marine Corps, whatever, you know, you have to go. You don't have a choice where they send you, first of all. But once you get there, it's about the mission at hand. And I will say this. There are men and women who join because they think, well, this might be something that might be good for me, and they try it for, you know, their first contract, and they say, you know, it wasn't a great fit or it didn't work for whatever reason. But there are men and women, both, who feel that it is their life's purpose. They are driven.
Right.
It feeds their spirit to know that they are serving their country. My husband is one of them. You know, this man, I couldn't drag out of bed to go to work, but come drill weekend, he's jumping out of bed at 4 a.m., and he's going to go sit in the desert for 2 days. You know, but that's just, you know, part of who he is and what he feels his purpose is. When he deployed, again, worried about his soldiers. I mean, we had a really long discussion the night before he deployed the very first time, and it was the first time I ever saw him worry because I am married to a macho man, okay? He joined the Marine Corps when he was right out of high school because they were the best. If you ask him, that's what he'll tell you. Why'd you join? He'd say because they were the best. He was a bullfighter for a living.
Wow.
He is not afraid of anything. And when he joined the National Guard, he was a tanker. And so the man has no fear about anything. But so being the first time that I actually saw him in a place of fear was that night right before they deployed. And it wasn't fear for himself. It was fear and realization that he had all these men that were now his responsibility. And
yes,
it was on him whether or not those guys came home to their wives and kids. you know, and so it's huge. And I think that there are a lot of people out there that just feel that it is their mission and it's in them. I mean, I just can't even explain it.
Laura, I do understand that. I do. And you know, I didn't look at it quite that way until I talked to this soldier the other night. You know, it is, that's their purpose. That's what they want to do. But Laura, when I see somebody posting that, you know, posting really bad things about what they were instructed to do in another country, is that their purpose?
That's a great question. That's a really great question. I can tell you that, you know, won't tell you what, but I will tell you that, you know, my husband was put in some rather nasty situations that horrific decisions had to be made, and they had to be made in a split second, and it was a matter of life and death. You know, it's valid. It's all valid because I'm anti-violence. Just, you know, I really am. But yet, you know, this is part of why I struggle, is because that I am anti-violence. But I also have to support my husband in his mission because I know this is what he's born to do. And there's going to come a time when, you know. Well, and there have been times, you know, look at the world wars that we've been through, you know. I mean, there have been times when we've had to defend this country. I mean, literally defend this country. And now, when we go and we do other things, that is always a big question mark for me. But for him, it's just I'm doing my orders. And if you have to look at it like this other gentleman did, where he had to turn his focus towards his men and make that his priority. And, you know, yes, he may have had a mission that was less than, it didn't seem worth being there for, you know, I mean, worth the risk of being there for. You know, I can see that. I can see that struggle. My husband would struggle with the same thing. I would tell you that right now. He would struggle with that too, because he feels like if you're going to use me, you know, if there's really a need, then let's do it, you know. But, you know, it's hard. Like I said, they don't get to pick where they go. And so it's really about what our government says we're going to get into and what we're not going to get into at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, like I said, Laura, we could go on and on about this, you know, and argue the point. Yeah. But, I mean, I really haven't learned yet, like, Rihanna just posted, people walk their own life path of their own truth and experiences. And I said, that is something I have to realize, you know, because here am I, I'm judging like people that just follow orders. And it's like, who am I to say that's wrong, you know? So
right.
That's something I got to work on myself, unfortunately.
Well, let me tell you this, and maybe this will help you. So, the week before Memorial Day, my husband lost a dear friend who was in the Marine Corps with him. And this gentleman was the highest ranking person to die in Afghanistan or from injuries sustained in Afghanistan. He was a command sergeant major. And he was also part of the unit that actually saved Jessica Lynch, the POW, in 2003. In Iraq.
Okay. Yeah.
He was on that mission. And everybody said, this man, Command Sergeant Major, should have been behind a desk. What the heck was he doing in a position where he could be hit by a sniper? But that's how he chose to serve. He was with
right.
his men. He was, you know what I mean? He would not allow them. And he had served in missions from Panama all the way up to current day Afghanistan. So he's been serving his entire adult life. And it was what he chose. It was his life path. It was what he chose. And yes, he could have been sitting behind a desk, but he refused.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just because they're so driven, and they feel it at their core that that's who they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing. And if it meant that he took the bullet for somebody, for one of those men, then he was prepared to do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
It just happens that way sometimes. Some people don't just, it's like, if you're going to give me an order, fine, give me an order and put me here, but I'm going to do it my way. And that's what he did.
Right, so. Right. No, I mean, and it's good to talk to you about this because I, like I said, I have to realize that, like Rihanna was saying, that maybe it is their purpose to do this and understand it more, or understand that it's not right, or that, you know what I mean? Like I have no idea, you know? Many of us don't, but yeah, it's interesting. But I'm glad you're doing that blog. That's fantastic. And I do want to read the book, too, when I can get a hold of it. So thank you for doing that. Now, when you are preparing yourself to do readings, Laura, what do you, is there like a ritual you do? What do you do before readings?
Yeah, it's really funny you ask, because when you called me, that was the first thing that went through your mind. Oh, I have to get home and meditate. I take my cues from some of the best out there. So Renee Richards showed me what's called the etheric tornado. And it's a sort of meditation, and you visualize a tornado that just basically moves through the body that clears out your aura, just clears it out of all the debris. So in debris, by that I mean the events of the day, okay? I had a crazy day today, crazy, but going through that exercise allowed me just to kind of wipe all of that away. And that's a really great tool that I use every single time. I also listen to the binaural beat, so I got that from Chris. While I'm kind of doing my administrative stuff before a show, I will make sure I've got the binaural beats in my head, you know, just kind of going, and it opens up the third eye a little bit. And then I always have a meditation and speak to my spirit guide. So there is a ritual. I like to have some candles burning just because I like that. There's something about the energy in a candle that makes me feel good and kind of helps to keep things moving. Every once in a while, I will sage my room ahead of time. But I'm in my office. I tuck myself away, and I kind of go into a lights-out situation. Like, nobody calls. They know, you know, I send everybody messages and say, you know, I'm out, you know. Don't bug Mommy. Mommy's busy doing her thing. So I have to have a quiet time because I am a person that is I can get scattered in the head, and so I need to have that time to really regroup and have the quietness of the mind so that when the messages start to come through, you know, they're pure and they're natural and they're not my own thoughts and all of that stuff. So,
right. And I imagine that's pretty hard to, you know, like you said, you're learning to trust your intuition and trust that what you're getting is coming actually from the other side and not just from your own thoughts. And I can't imagine getting to a place where I would be absolutely sure of what I'm getting. So I know that's no easy feat to do that. So that's why I wonder. It's like when I talk to Renee or when I talk to any number of mediums, and also, Laura, I wanted to ask you, what do you think the people from the other side want from us? Do they want anything? Are they bothered when you try to call them in?
No. So I think more than anything, when spirit comes through, they basically come forward because it's like you're there connecting with, you know, you're making a vibrational connection with one of their loved ones, and they pick up on it. So it's kind of like, it's kind of hard for me to explain. So I used to have my sister-in-law, who is also psychic. She would call me because she would get from spirit that someone was trying to make a connection with me and I wasn't paying attention. And so she'd call me and she'd tell me, go in your office and you need to meditate and find out what this person wants to talk to you about because they won't leave me alone. And and they would often do that. So that's why I referred her as my psychic secretary because she would call me and tell me where to go in my house, where they are in my house, where to go, what to do. So this was before I started doing these radio shows. But the funny thing is that now that I've started to do the radio shows, I haven't received any calls like that from her. So apparently spirit's happy. So, but what they really want is just to be able to, so when you connect with their loved ones, the energy and the vibration of their loved ones, they just want to come forward and give messages. Now, sometimes it's not always the person that is calling wants to hear from necessarily, but they do want to come forward and give messages willingly, and it's always, always, always messages of love and or encouragement of some sort. So it's always very helpful, and I find it very light. But that's just me. That's what I've experienced. It is hard to decipher. Like I said, I've been working to try to decode these things. And what I've learned to do is lean more on my spiritual guide. And if I don't understand something, like if I see a banana, I'll say, okay, tell me about the banana. What's up with the banana? And then they'll show me more pictures. And so, like, I'll see pictures instead of maybe hearing things. And sometimes the pictures, help get me into a better place where then the energy will start to flow. But sometimes it's an absolute hearing, and and it's clear as a bell, and I can go through a reading and not remember a thing. I try to write down as much as I can, but when I've done these shows, I couldn't tell you who I read, what the messages were. I look at my notes, and it's chicken scratch sometimes, and I'm thinking, did you learn anything from that? Maybe you need to go back and listen to that show and hear what that reading was like, because literally, and that's when I know that it's spirit coming through, when I don't remember, when I truly do lean on spirit. So, it's a fine balance, and it's just figuring out what works for you. I mean, it really is. When I meditate, I usually ask my guide for any information that I might need to know before a show, and today, I will say, so for anybody, and I'm sorry, I had to bail out of chat because I kept getting these doggone pop-ups, and they were making noise in my head. And so anyway, so I bailed out of chat, so I can't see who's there, but for anybody that's out there, I was shown a banana. I was shown a banana, and I asked for more information about the banana and was told that it was all about the dessert. And that it was coming from a male energy that absolutely loved dessert. Like that was a thing that this person was known for. Like it was crazy love for dessert, of any kind. And he was a very young male. And there was something about it. It was an accident. He passed from an accident. I got the words Alexander the Great, and I don't know if it was like an Alex or something like that. Names don't typically resonate very well with me. I don't know if it was a nickname. I don't know what it was, but I got Alexander the Great, so I'm just going to put that out there. I got a picture of a tricycle, so I don't know if that represents, it was a really young person or if it was just if he had something with a tricycle. But he had a message for his sister, and I saw him. He's up there, cute little guy, very young spirit, playing with a dog. And it was almost like he couldn't get his attention to stay focused with I was trying to get from him. But he looked up at me and he said, "Tell my sister to tell my mommy I'm okay."
Hmm.
So for anybody on, if anybody's out there and that resonates with any of you, that's the message she wants to pass on. I don't know, but that's what I got. And usually when I meditate ahead of time and I get something, somewhere along the line, somebody has a hit on some of it or part of it or all of it. I don't know, but, you know, so I'm just going to put it out there. But that's kind of how it works for me. I mean, I just try to jot down as much information, because when you're connected at that vibrational level, I feel like it's important to collect any information, because I feel like God, there's no accident. So I don't think of things on accident, especially weird things like bananas and dessert when I'm not a big sweet eater at all. So, that's not something that would come into my conscious mind. And I know that. And so, you know, I always figure, okay, well, that's got to be a purpose for somebody, you know. So
yeah.
I just write it down and give it as I get it.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so we're going to take like a 40-second break, and we're going to come back. And if you're ready, Laura, we can take our first phone call.
I am ready.
Okay, and that will be you, Desmond. So we'll be right back.
Visit PurplePlates.com today. For over 40 years, the Purple Energy Plates have been delivering amazing results for their many customers. Inspired by the great genius Nikola Tesla, the harmony, healing, and energetic effects of the plates have proven over and over to be beneficial and often miraculous to thousands of customers. With their money-back guarantee and the many benefits, how can you afford not to get one? Check their site for daily specials and choose from their many energy products. You won't be sorry. Visit them today at purpleplates.com for mind, body, and spirit. And expect a miracle.
Okay, thank you for putting up with that ad. Okay, so Desmond actually checked out. I don't know what happened, but we have Debbie, and we'll bring her on. Hello, Debbie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Okay. Did you have a question for Laura?
Question for Laura. Regarding my living situation.
Okay.
Did I have to get more specific or?
I'm not sure, Laura. Is that a good enough question? I don't know if Laura can hear me.
I'm talking on mute. I am so sorry.
Okay.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Laura.
So, no. Hi. No, we're fine with that. Let's just leave it at that. Let me see if I can pick anything up.
Okay, great.
So, your current living situation. So, do you have a roommate right now?
I have my family.
Okay. There's something about a shift out of your home, and I don't feel like it's I don't feel like it's something that you necessarily wanted to plan or.
Yes, that's correct. It was definitely unplanned.
Okay. Yeah, there's something about that. It just feels—it's the energy around it. Feels like, yeah, you didn't want it, you didn't ask for it, but it's happening to you.
Right.
So I'm being told to start. I'm being told to start looking.
Within.
Well, this is what I'm getting. Start looking and don't wait for the situation, whatever it is, to get worse. You need to be proactive in this and start trying to figure out things right now. That's what I'm feeling around it. That's the energy. That's what I'm being told, is just to start looking, dig in, start looking, and to be proactive. You know, nobody wants to have things just happen to us, right? And so, and I'm a bit of a control freak, self-admitted. But when things like that happen, it kind of throws everybody for a loop, you know. Control freak or no, it will throw you for a loop. So, but that is what I'm being told, and I have good energy about that. You need to just take control of the situation as much as you can. So,
okay.
You know, I realize and understand that the circumstances aren't perfect, but what you have to figure out is how you can control the situation that you are in. So what are the things that you can do proactively to make this situation work out to your benefit so that you suffer the least amount of disruption in your life?
Okay.
Well, currently
we're actually living in a hotel. We've been in the hotel since March 31st. And we were supposed to be back in the house. It's a home that we've rented for the last 7.5 years. We were supposed to be back in the house May 1st. But there was a mold issue that they remediated, but after the remediation, they found the toxic black mold.
Yeah, you need to get out of that. I feel like you need to start, I got the word start looking. So
okay.
What I'm gathering from what you told me is that personally, this is just me talking to you now, I'm just going to tell you personally, I would see that as something I would want to disconnect from. I mean, I wouldn't want to take a chance at moving my family back there. I would want to be looking for something else.
Right, which we have been doing for the last month. And our challenge is that we have 3 dogs, and our younger son is still in school, so we have to consider the school district. And financially, I mean, this was very unexpected. So financially, it's
I absolutely get it. And I almost feel like, well, maybe it's the hotel I'm picking up on, but I almost feel like there's a temporary solution before there's a permanent solution to the situation. So
okay.
And I'm also feeling like you might want to look in places that you'd not typically look for places to live. So it's something weird. Like, I almost feel like you're going to stumble across something. Like, you're going to be – I'm just going to throw this out there. Like, you're going to be at the laundromat and see something on the bulletin board or something. You know, and it's going to be that weird type of thing.
Okay.
Or something at the grocery store. You know what I mean? So I feel like you're going to, you're going to make that connection. And I'm not getting any time frame around. Wait, I just got 3 months. So somewhere in between now and 3 months from now, probably not what you want to hear, but
no, because our hotel stay is up Saturday. The insurance company will only cover until Saturday.
Yeah.
So
maybe the temporary situation will happen sooner, and the permanent solution is going to take 3 months. But I really feel like there's a transition before you get into your permanent solution. I really do feel that.
Would that transition be the house or?
No, I don't think it would be going back to the house. I think something's going to come up. Like, somebody's going to help you out. Like, you're going to...
Okay. Like my mom?
Somebody's going to step in and say, you can stay here until you find a place type of a situation. I really feel like that's going to happen. Yeah. Those around you that care and love you aren't going to, you know, everybody's aware. They're not going to let you, you know, be, you know, brought to with it. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You will end up
in a situation, like I said, transitionally, and then you'll find a place. So it may take you a few months to find a place, but you will find a place. And I feel like when you find it, it's going to be the perfect situation for you. You'll be fine.
Okay.
I really do feel that. Just keep the faith. Keep looking. And I would start working on your I would start now. So if you know that your insurance company is not going to pay after Saturday, then by golly, I'd be on the phone. You know what I mean?
So we went and looked at places today, and we've been calling and Craigslist, and I mean for the last month, when we realized that we weren't going to go back to that, we wouldn't be able to go back to the house. We started looking.
Yeah,
but we have three dogs. So
I'm talking about your backup plan. I'm talking about that temporary situation.
Oh, okay.
Get that hooked
okay.
up in the back. Get that hooked up. Get working on that.
Right.
And you know, see what your contingency plan is, and then go from there, because that's going to give you the breathing room that you need to take
yeah.
a step back and say, okay, this is where we're at until we find the right place. And it's going to allow you to relax a little bit into it and not force it to happen.
Okay. And okay. It's the temporary, you don't believe that that's the hotel.
No, I really don't. I feel like somebody's going to step in and say, you can stay here till you find a place. I really feel that. I feel a lot of good, positive energy around that.
Okay. All right. Is there anybody around me in spirit that wants to say hi?
Has your father passed?
My biological father, who I didn't know.
Yeah, that's okay.
Or, I knew not very well.
Yeah, father's here. Your father's here with me. So biological dad.
My husband's father passed. I didn't know him at all.
No, I'm feeling your father.
Okay.
He's connected to you.
Wow.
To say that he's looking out for you and trying to give you as much positive energy as he possibly can. Keep your spirits up. He's just being very positive. He's not very talkative, but
okay.
he wants you to know that, you know, he is with you and he's always looking out for you. So so he is here.
Okay.
Yeah, he's sending love and positive messages of, you know, strength and encouragement.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we never know who's going to be out there looking out for us,
right.
You know?
Right.
It's always good to know somebody is, though, right?
Absolutely, yes. I agree.
And sometimes I think, and let me just, I'm, again, just me talking to you, sometimes I think the most obscure person who you think would ever be looking over you, to find out they're looking over you, is more meaningful. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but what I mean is it just changes the whole way that we look at things, you know. So
right.
I think it's kind of cool. Like, I think the fact that my abusive grandfather has now come to a different level of understanding and he's looking out over me and he always comes through for me.
Wow.
You know, I think, wow, you know, I think, and he comes through with really positive messages every single time. And so, you know, I look at it as growth and a good thing. So I get excited
sure.
about it. I don't know, but
I said,
he's
yeah.
looking out for me.
Well, that's
yeah.
nice. Thanks, Dad. one more question. The owners of the house, they're actually taking us back to court in the middle of June. Are you getting anything around that?
I don't feel any negative or positive energy around that situation. I feel like it's not going to be resolved. I feel like there's not resolution in the near future. I will say that.
Ooh.
So, it just feels like it's going to be unresolved in the near future,
forever,
maybe later
or?
On. No, it's just in the immediate, you know, in the near. I'm getting no resolution is what I'm getting.
wow.
So I don't know if they're taking you to court. I don't know if they're not going to be able to get any traction on whatever they're trying to, you know, do. I don't know what that means, but I feel like there's a lot of unresolved things there.
Well, we had actually gone to court already and thought that we had resolved it, had agreed to what we thought was reasonable for both of us. And like I said, we were supposed to be back in the house May 1st, but then when they found the black mold, we brought it to their attention, and their attorney basically just said they have a report that passed that shows that it passed, the remediation passed, even with the finding of the black mold, and that they were going to offer us a lease, but then they just decided not to offer us a lease because we brought this to their attention, and they felt like we were playing games. They said we're done playing games.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get much traction around that. I don't know how to explain this. I just feel like they're going to be, there's something that's not going to move forward in that situation. It just feels stalled to me. Like it's going to,
okay.
It's just going to get so far and it's going to stall. Like maybe they don't have enough evidence to stand on. Maybe they'll get laughed at. I don't know what that means. I wish I could tell you exactly. But
okay.
I just don't get any momentum around that at all. Nothing.
I wonder if that means because, I mean, we have, I don't know if it would be considered evidence, but just reason for why we made the decision that we made. Will that be relevant when we go back to court?
Yeah, because when you just started talking, I was told cross your T's and dot every single I. So whatever you've collected, continue to do your due diligence. Make sure that you're documenting. That's what I'm being told.
Okay. Okay.
And
is there still black mold in the house?
I don't get a good feeling about the house. I can't tell you if the black mold is still there, but I don't get like a warm fuzzy, oh, take your family back there, it's all good. I'm not getting that at all. I can't say one way or another, but I will tell you that the energy around it doesn't feel great. So that's what I can tell you.
Okay,
well, Debbie, I wish you luck, and I hope this I think Laura gave you some good advice, and hopefully it will resolve, because I can't imagine what it's like being in that position, you know?
It's been tough. Anxiety
I bet.
Has been through the roof. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you so very much.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Laura. Am I able to stay on and listen?
Yes, Debbie. I'll just put you on mute, but you can still listen to the
okay.
show. Thank you, Debbie.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
You too, Debbie.
Okay, so next, Laura, we have Yvette. And
hi,
Yvetsky.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Wonderful, thank you. What can I do for you tonight? Do you have a particular question? Or
do you like a specific question, or do you like general?
If you have one, I will take it. But, you know, otherwise, if you just want to see what I'm getting, I'll pick a break.
Yeah, how about we just see if you what you're getting? I mean, I have a specific question, but it doesn't have to. You know, it's just kind of a general specific question.
I'm getting a sister energy with you. Do you have a sister that's crossed?
No, I have one that I would like to throttle.
Oh, okay. So
I got
I'm
one too.
So maybe I'm reading you psychically, and there's a difference. So let me talk about the difference a little bit. So, and the reason that I'm going to be very specific and say that I'm probably picking up on your, I'm picking up on your conscious mind as opposed to actually talking to spirit so that you know there's a difference. So if you've got your sister heavy on your mind right now, that's probably why I picked her up.
Yeah.
Anything in particular you want to know about this situation with your sister?
I suppose if... I mean, I try to make peace with it with my, you know, in, with myself and put it aside because, but I guess it hangs over me a little bit. And is there any resolution to it ever?
Well,
because I feel like
sometimes
I don't.
What I'm getting is two things. I'm getting be patient and let it go.
Yeah.
So they're kind of contradictory, but not really. Be patient in your ability to kind of resolve it emotionally, whatever the situation is. We don't need to go there. But I'm also hearing that you need to let go of it. So for whatever reason, you're putting too much emphasis on it. And so, you know, it's hard for things to resolve when you're holding onto something so tight. And a great example of that I will share with you. This is a personal weakness of mine, so I'm just talking to you. My husband says that I am very quick to forgive. It takes me much longer to forget.
Yeah.
So and so I kind of feel like it's that same kind of, and like you can kind of let it go to a degree, but forgetting for you and really letting it go is something that may be holding up that situation a little bit. So I'm just being told, be patient with it, and it will come, and truly try to let it go. Make a conscious effort to just try to let it go.
Okay.
And sometimes things have to fall away, as you, I'm sure, already know, before healing can come in. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And sometimes time and distance makes that happen for us. Sometimes open communication. It's really hard to tell what's going to really make that happen. Maybe things come to a blow and you guys go your separate ways and agree to disagree, but you're cool and you don't have to communicate whatever and be
yeah.
your best friend. You love each other, whatever, but you don't associate. And sometimes it's just about there needs to be space and people need to have time to just forgive and let the dust settle. So for whatever that's worth, I hope that helped.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. I haven't talked to her for about 4 years. And I guess what's been on my mind is not so much that, because I've kind of, like you said, made peace with that. But she has my grandma's recipes, and I want them, or at least copies of them.
You haven't let it go.
I know. She has my mom's crystal, you know? And for a long time, I just set it aside because stuff has always meant nothing to me. And I'm like, it's okay. She's got it. It's no big deal. It's not worth it. But the more I think about it, which I know I haven't let it go, the more I think about it, the more I get mad because I'm like, she doesn't get to have all that stuff, you know? She shouldn't get to have all that stuff.
Right.
It's not fair.
Well, I get that. I totally get that. But what I'm being told from, I think it's grandma.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
That it's not about the things.
Well, no, I know that.
And she's just reminding you of that, and she's saying that it's not important. It's just not important in her eyes. You don't need her recipes to hold on to her.
No, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it'd be great to have if she made an awesome lasagna. I'd want to have it too. Okay, so I mean, I get that. I totally get that. And Crystal, and like I said, I've told callers before, and I many people, I have the ugliest doggone thing that my grandmother picked up in Alaska, and my family swears if I don't keep it in my office tucked away, they're gonna take it out to the curb. But it's the only thing that I have with my grandmother. So do I want to give it up? No. Can I display it in my home in a place where everybody can see it? No. But I get to have it in my office, right? So it's the only thing. So I get that need for connection. I totally get it. But Grandma's saying don't let that, like, become this big issue. You really need to let it go, because I feel like if you do, I feel like there's going to be some resolution. Now, it may not take, it may take quite a while. It may not happen overnight. Obviously, it's been going on for 4 years. But I feel like you guys are going to come back together. And so Grandma's saying it's not a big deal. Put these things aside for right now. You really have to truly let it go. Because only when you let things go, it's like that thing. You know, if you let it go and it comes back to you, it's truly meant to be yours. If it doesn't come back, then it wasn't. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And maybe your sister needs to know how to cook better than you do. You know what I mean? Maybe she needs more tips.
Well, she needs recipes.
Well,
yeah,
I have a suggestion, Yvette. Why don't you just call her and ask her if she can photocopy the recipes for you?
Because I'm not speaking to her.
Well, see, I would be like, just listen, whatever your name is, and I know what her name is, but can you please give me the recipe? Can you please photocopy the recipes for me? You know, I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I don't want to have that, because there's so much other stuff which you know about that has gone on that if I ever were to speak to her at this point in my life, I wouldn't be nice.
Well, Beth, do you have her address? Can you send her a letter?
I could do that, yeah.
Yeah. I would
you could send her a letter, yeah, that would be good. If you could send her a letter and not, yeah. I mean, you know.
And it's really not about stuff. It's just that it's unfair that she gets everything, you know, that she's such a rotten, mean person, and everything just turns out good for her without anybody ever questioning it. And I don't usually have a problem with stuff like that. But for her, it just really irks me. And didn't even realize I had these feelings until I started talking. So,
well,
I thought I had resolved it.
I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to do you just one. I'm going to challenge you. Okay, Yvette?
Okay.
I know. Okay, I'm going to challenge you. So, I want you to ask yourself, this is just Laura Dupree saying to you, ask yourself, if I don't typically have a problem with this, why do I have a problem with this with her? And ask yourself that question as many times as you need to until you can get to the bottom of it. Why? How does it make me feel? Why does it make me feel that way? How long have I felt this way about it? What may have been the trigger for that? So dig deep.
Yeah. It's personal rejection. You know, it's like I was never good enough for her. You know?
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, whatever. I adore my siblings, both of them. But neither one of them really, you know, appreciate me.
I know. Our families often don't appreciate us, you know? But that's why they're there, so we can learn the lesson that it doesn't freaking matter what the hell they think, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that right. Well, honey, I just wish that everything will turn out okay, and maybe you can write her a letter and she'll respond, and then you'll know. Maybe the letter will be a healing thing for you. Write the letter, and then maybe you can let it go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, I asked. And really go forward with good intentions with the letter, and, you know, try to leave the emotional stuff out, just be as to the point as possible. I know you're like me.
So don't start it with dear brat.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, bitch, give me the letter. You know.
You suck.
Yeah, you don't want to start like that. But you know, I mean, just you know, very concise and to the point, and maybe it will be a very healing thing for you to do.
Okay.
And then
that's a great idea. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great idea too. Well, you got to let us know. Maybe I'll help you write the letter.
That'd be good. Maybe you can keep me under control.
No, Yvette, in between the lines will break her soul. She won't even know it.
Well, you know, years ago when I was very, very young and many, many years ago, I worked at a B loan company, one of those little usury places, you know, basically. And I got in trouble for scratching out people's names and writing Dear Deadbeat. For some reason, they say that's illegal.
Oh,
so I don't have a good history with writing letters, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how she responds.
God be with you, Yvette, in your every endeavor.
Thank you, Laura. Okay. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Yvette. Okay, Yvette's a great psychic herself, as you probably know, Laura. She's pretty cool. I mean, she's you know, and so for her to get mad, you know, and to hold this angst against her sister who unfairly gets all the, you know, treasures of the family, it's got, you know, I understand. It's really, like, it is irksome, definitely.
Oh, I have a friend. I have the same. And she's not even a friend. She's an acquaintance. And I don't know why this beautiful woman rubs me the wrong way every time. I mean, she could be posting something on Facebook that she fed her kids lunch and it would piss me off. And
yeah.
I don't know why I do that.
I know. Just some people, and they're probably like, it's probably from a past life. You just don't like them from the get-go, you know?
Yeah, because she's really a beautiful, beautiful person. But I just can't. I can't get on board with liking her for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's not her fault, poor thing.
All right. So next we have Angie. And hi, Angie.
Hi, guys.
How
hi,
are you?
I've been better. How are you guys?
We're okay. What's the matter?
Oh, it's just really, really stressful time.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. Yvette came to my rescue last night, so she helped.
I'm feeling a real drain on your energy, like somebody's taken some of your energy away from you. You letting somebody take your power, Angie?
Yeah, four little girls. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Well, what can we do for you tonight? Do you have a question, specific question?
No, I'm just whatever you can get for me, I guess.
Okay. I'm getting an uncle that's coming through. Yes or no? All right. Okay. Let me see what uncle has. I'm being shown that you guys were close.
Yeah, very, very, very close.
Yeah, like from when you were little.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing me toys, like he used to play with you and, you know, pull you around in a little wagon or whatever. Like, you guys would play. Like, he would have fun with you. He loved being an uncle. He was very proud. Very proud uncle.
Pretty much hates me.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Thank you. Okay. He's telling me that you have the strength to go through what you're about to go through. So I don't know if you've got something coming up in your life right now, in the near future, but he's making me feel like there's great concern around this. And he's saying you're going to get through it just fine. You're strong enough.
Oh, I needed to
and,
hear that.
And just, does that resonate with you? You've got.
Yeah, it really does.
Okay, yeah, because he's saying you're going to get through this. So don't question yourself. He said stop questioning yourself is what he's telling me. Whether or not you can endure it. You can endure it. You will endure it is what he's telling me. He's sending you lots of love. He's lifting you up. Know that he's always with you. Was there something about you and lilacs? Like, I almost feel like he picked you lilacs or... There's something weird with the lilacs with him, and I don't know what it is.
We used to go cut lilacs for his wife when I was really little. Like, we'd go out along the road and cut them for us and bring them back.
Okay.
Nice.
That's where they come in. So he treasured that time, and he wants you to know that was special. You know, any of those special things that he did with you, he's telling me that's what, you know, they were invaluable to him. He treasured them. He still treasures them, those moments. He believes in you. He has all the confidence in the world that you're going to be great. You're going to get through this. Do not doubt yourself. Do not doubt yourself. You will get through this time. Whatever is coming up for you, you will get through it.
Good, because I needed that after this week.
Yeah, he's saying just stay strong. I mean, you've got to stand in your truth, and now I'm going to talk to you. He made me feel like she knows better than to question herself. She knows better is what he made me feel like. And so to you I say, if you think you're strong and you know you're a strong person, stand in that truth. Stand in your strength. You know what I mean? Be confident in all things as you're going through this. Don't let the self-doubt eat you up, because it will. I mean, it creeps in even for, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, self-doubt will creep in. It'll make its way in. And I don't know why that energy has to do that, but it happens. It just happens. But you need to push it away, and you need to stand and let your light shine and just stand right in your truth and your strength, and you will manage right through this storm. You will weather it.
Yeah, it's just like that song, Angie. When will these clouds... I'm sorry, Angie. I love that song.
It is a good song.
But that was great, Laura.
Yeah. Can I tell you what's going on? Like, it's really nothing personal. My mom got the bright idea to bring my four nieces to stay with us during the summer. So they're here. They got here on Sunday. And they're here till, like, after July 4th. And I have to babysit them every day while she's at work, and I have to do my own work also. And these four little girls are so bad sometimes. Like yesterday morning, the littlest one got mad and kicked me right in the stomach, and she told me to shut up like three or four times, and it's very stressful.
Could you have closets in that house? Because you could lock them in there.
Or a gated backyard or something, so you can put them outside the place, for crying out loud. My goodness.
I put them outside, and they come back in like 5 minutes later, like, there's a bee outside, there's a bee.
They keep coming back. Is there an older one? Like, how old is the oldest?
She's 11. They go from 11 to 6, and there's four of them.
Okay. Okay, so let me tell you this about that. This Laura talking to you. You just dropped the hammer on the 11-year-old, and you tell her you better, your job, your J-O-B, is to keep these other three girls in check. You take them outside, you get an activity going, and you guys just go out and play. Stay in the backyard, don't move, these are the rules. You manage it. Put her in charge, make her feel important. She'll take care of business.
Yes, good idea. Tell her you're going to give her Angie, tell her you're going to give her a present at the end of the day if she does everything you tell her to do. And then
my sister doesn't let them use the Xbox, but when I talked to Yvette last night, Yvette's like, your sister is not there. Let them use the Xbox. So today was actually a pretty decent day. I had one on one computer, one on the Xbox, one on my Kindle, and I like had 5 minutes to myself. It was amazing.
Jeez.
Well, being on that 11-year-old, I can't stress that enough. We don't have a large family, but we have a decent-sized family, and we have an 11-and-a-half-year-old in the house, and I'm telling you, we cherish her because we put her to work and, take care of the little ones, make sure they're not doing this, because, you know, when you have a family gathering, it's very easy to get distracted and stuff like that, so we put her to work and we tell her, you know, you're in charge. They like to hear that. P.S.
Yeah.
By the way, they like to hear that. They like to be in charge. So
right. Try
it. Worth a shot.
Yeah. Geez, Angie. Good luck to you, man.
Yeah, I'll pray for you, honey.
Yeah, because I don't have any kids. So I go from no kids to four little girls.
That's good birth control right there, you know?
Yeah, amen. I think we all need to pray for Angie right now. Wow. Oh.
Yeah, we'll imagine halos above all their heads.
Exactly. Oh,
they need more than halos, I think, after yesterday.
Yeah.
But,
But your uncle's saying you're going to weather the storm, so don't worry about it. And it sounds like you are in the middle of the storm.
Yeah. Well, Angie, thank you for calling, and good luck. Let us know what happens.
I will. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I can't imagine watching freaking four little girls. Man. Ugh. Well, I do love children, but it's like sometimes, geez, four of them, you know, that's a hard freaking row to hoe.
So
next we have Jill, and we're running out of time, so we're, you know, I'm taking Jill. Hello, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, how are you? I was wondering if my son was coming through. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's good. Jill, did your son, was his passing an accident?
Yes.
Was it real fast?
It was very fast.
But I want to see, motorcycle was the first thing that came into my head, but some kind of...
He actually called it a medical accident when he comes through.
A medical accident.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can... The feeling like he's... Here 1 minute, gone the next. Here 1 minute, gone the next.
Yep. Yes.
Did you find him?
We were actually together, and we walked the dog. We came to the house, and we were talking, and the next minute he was gone.
Lord.
I believe he hit his head on a bicycle in an accident, and then he must have gotten some kind of like a blood clot in his brain.
Yeah. No wonder I saw the bike. Okay. That
yes.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's just tune into what he wants to tell you. Which is that he's fine. Does he have a dog that's crossed that he would be playing with over there on the other side?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I think he might have been the dog that I picked up earlier, the young man playing with the dog.
Okay.
He was very excited about that. And he wants you to know that he's okay.
Okay.
Whole in every way. Do you have his things still? He makes me feel like you're, like you've got his things. I don't know if they're special things.
Yeah, I still have everything.
Do you have them, like, in a special place? I don't want to use the word shrine, but I almost feel like you've kind of, some things are kind of untouched.
Yeah, yes, in his room.
Yeah. He's showing me that.
I was just in there today, and I couldn't touch anything. I was going to try to throw things away, and I can't.
He hasn't been gone long at all, has he?
No.
Has something happened within the last 6 months? Does that resonate with you?
Has something happened?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
You? Or?
Yes. There's a lot of things that have happened. My mom passed away, and I'm getting divorced.
Yeah, he's talking to me about, like, the last 6 months have been really trying for you.
Yes. It just doesn't stop.
Okay. Well, he wants you to know that he's sending you lots of encouragement and strength from the other side. He really does. It's just a lot of love. He is concerned about the angst that you've been going through over the last 6 months. But he's saying it's going to pass.
Okay.
It is going to. I mean, it's going to. It may feel worse before it quits hurting. You know.
Right. Right.
But it will get better for you, and you will be in a better place, and he wants you to know that he's going to be with you while you're going through this transition.
Okay.
And that he's with you all the time. I don't know what else to say. In fact, he's putting a warm blanket of love, and this is when I always know that they're with me and really, really wanting to stress the adoration that they have for you. I can feel him. He wants to take this blanket and wrap it around you and tell you how much he loves you. And he wants to thank you for everything that you've done for him in his life.
Okay.
And he says, I'm perfectly fine. And he's playing with that. He's playing with that dog like you wouldn't believe. He's happy, happy, happy.
Good. Okay.
So he was surprised, he's telling me, that the dog met him on the other side. I don't know if that.
Jill, I can't. Yeah, I just can't imagine, Jill, how you must be feeling and what you're going through. And, Lord, you know, it's so hard. And it's like Laura, why are you know? And I know, like everyone would say, oh, because we're here to learn from this experience. But when it keeps happening, like it's happening to Jill, What do you tell yourself when this stuff happens?
Well, you can't tell yourself anything while it's happening. Let me tell you why. Because most of the time when it's happening to us, we can't separate ourselves and take an objective look back on what the reason may be. So while you're going through it, the only thing that you can do is weather the storm. It's hold on for dear life, get through it. Now, what's going to be important and what is always important is, in my view, is to stand back and at the end when you get to a place where you can reflect on what's happened and then look at those things and figure out what in my life would not have happened if it weren't for this or weren't for that. What things came from that? So You know, I always go back to the story that I told when in my book about me feeling sorry for myself because my husband was off, you know, in Iraq. And I was asked to drive a stranger home or volunteer to drive a stranger soldier home during his R&R. And his wife had just had a baby, and I knew his wife. That was the only reason I drove him home. I mean, not the only reason. I mean, he was a soldier. Okay, I would have done it anyways. But I knew his wife,
right.
And his wife had just had a baby. And I had been feeling sorry for myself for months because my husband wasn't coming in on that same plane with these guys. He wasn't going to be home for months. But I did it. And I got to actually witness this man look at his son for the very first time. His Brandon baby. And it was in that moment when I sat in my truck and went out, and after I finished bawling my eyeballs out, I went to my truck and I just sat there for a minute and I thanked God for the experience, because at that point I was able to say, I'm grateful that my husband was deployed, because if he was not in Iraq right now, I would have never been able to experience such a beautiful, beautiful thing ever. I mean, it would not, you know, the circumstances would not have aligned to make that happen for me. And it was such a precious memory. I hold on to it like it was yesterday. It was back in 2004. So,
right.
So just know that it's not always in the moment that we can see it, but we will be able to see it. And it's just important that we look for it when we're ready.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but Jill, my prayers are with you. I just...
Thank you.
Really. It's people, it's the way you're calling into this show right now that inspires me. And and your journey, you know, that's inspiring to me, you know?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay strong, sweetie pie.
And thanks for calling, Jill, and good luck to you.
Okay. Thank
yes.
you very
good
much.
Luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So hard, you know? So hard. It's just, you know, what life throws at us at times is just unbelievable. But the human spirit itself is unbelievable.
The ability to endure, you mean?
Yes.
Yes. It amazes me, too. It totally amazes me. And like I said, I don't think that there's ever, like, this perfect way to get through something like that. Spirit just does. And I think a lot of it has to do with faith, and that's the belief in things that we can't see. And oftentimes we have to have the faith that we will get through it. And if we really claim that we're going to get through it, then spirit will take over and we will get through it. And we don't know how we got through it. We're going to wake up one day and realize we're through it. And,
right.
You know, but it's tough, man. I mean,
it is.
It's tough. I can't even imagine, first of all, what it would be like to lose a child and then, you know, on top of it, going through the other things that she's going through. So, yeah, very heartbreaking.
Yes, it is. We have like 2 seconds left, so I want to thank you, Laura, for joining me tonight. It was absolutely wonderful.
Well, thanks
I hope
for having
that,
me.
Yeah, sure. I hope that you will come back on one day soon. And
I would love
it. We can talk some more about all the things that we're not supposed to talk about on the radio. So. But so right now, if you guys are listening, whoever's listening, Barb DeLong has a show coming on at 8, which is in 1 minute, and she has medium Renee Richards, and it should be a fantastic show. So I'm going to head over there, and I'll see you guys there, and thank you so much again, Laura.
Oh, so welcome. Thanks, everybody, for joining tonight. Awesome.
Okay. I'll see you soon, Laura.
Sure. All right. Bye-bye.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony,
healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.